Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. The Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. And it's the first show of 2011. Welcome back, Eric.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Good to be back and good to see you again.
I haven't seen you since last year.
I know. It seems like it's been forever.
Did you have a good trip?
I did. It was great. Yeah.
Good.
Lots of fun.
Well, I'm very excited. We have a great guest today who I'm going to bring on in just a couple minutes. We have Ellen O'Neill Stevens, who's the founder of Courthouse Dogs, a local organization that is now, I think, doing some national work. So we're going to talk to her about their wonderful work working with dogs to provide emotional support and comfort in the criminal justice system. So look forward to talking with her in just a couple minutes, but I would like to announce again that the 100th episode of the Dog Talk Show is coming up end of January, and we are throwing a party to celebrate, and the party is going to be January 22nd, which is a Saturday. Starts at 6 p.m., and it'll go till about 8:30, and we're going to have some giveaways and free raffles and wine and food and...
Yeah, that means we're closing in on 2 years.
I know.
Being on the air.
Wow. I know. Time flies.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that you can make it out there listening. I would love for you to come and bring your family and friends. And again, that's January 22nd, and it's going to be held at Fido and Scratch, which is one of my favorite local pet shops.
Now, do they allow dogs?
They do, although given the number of people that can potentially show up, we're requesting that dogs stay at home.
Okay.
Unless necessary, and then, of course, they're welcome.
Right.
Fido and Scratch is in Seattle's Mount Baker neighborhood, near the Mount Baker light rail station, and the information will be on the website, on the Dog Talk Show website, which is dogtalkshow.com. So I hope you can make it. You, Eric, and you out there listening, it would be great to meet some new people and meet some listeners, and we'd love to see you. So it's going to be a fun event. Saturday, January 22nd, 6 o'clock, Fido and Scratch.
Well, we're all going to try.
Good. Thank you.
I'm just going to go ahead and speak on behalf of
Thank
the audience.
You.
I
yeah.
hope you don't mind, audience.
So we are, as always, available. All the past shows are archived on the website, which is dogtalkshow.com. We're also available as a free audio podcast on iTunes. So if you've missed any of our past 90-some-odd shows, you can find them all online and listen either on your iPod or MP3 player, or you can just listen sitting at your computer as well. Again, that's dogtalkshow.com, and we're also on Facebook. Our Facebook fan page is The Dog Talk Show, and you can follow us on Twitter at Dog Talk Show. So let's bring Ellen O'Neill Stevens on the show. Hi, Ellen.
Oh, hello. Good afternoon.
Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
It's my pleasure.
Now, I heard you were one of the presenters at the IAADP and Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound Conference that was a few months ago. And we get to, I think Jeter was there for that, wasn't it? Wasn't he?
Yes. My son, Sean Steven, who mm-hmm. is 28 years old, and his skilled companion dog, Jeter, from Canine Companions for Independence, presented right along with me when I gave my conference presentation.
Mm-hmm. And this was about courthouse dogs. And what is courthouse dogs?
Well, courthouse dogs, well, to begin with, I'm a King County prosecuting attorney, mm-hmm. and I've been a prosecuting attorney for over 25 years, and
okay.
I really love my job. But over the course of those years, I have seen quite a bit of pain and suffering
mm-hmm.
On the part of many people, particularly crime victims and particularly young crime victims.
Mm-hmm.
And so it occurred to me after my son, Sean, got his service dog, that it would be very helpful if there was a facility service dog working in the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have found out is that the presence of a dog during many criminal justice proceedings makes a huge difference in terms of providing comfort to the people that have suffered as a result of crimes, as well as helping prosecutors, law enforcement, victim advocates do their jobs.
Mm-hmm. So you have dogs that actually come into the courthouse. And where is this? This is the where is the courthouse that you work that you do most of your work at?
Well, I'm affiliated with the King County Superior Courthouse in downtown Seattle.
Okay.
And the way this works is that a criminal justice professional, usually a police officer, a prosecuting attorney, a victim advocate, or a forensic interviewer, applies to get a facility service dog from a service dog organization.
Mm-hmm.
And after a long process that involves having the prosecutor's office or the police department sign off on this program, a dog is placed with a criminal justice professional and is pretty much a full-time employee there in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And these dogs are available to help in a number of ways. Primarily across the country, they're being used to assist children when they're being interviewed about sexual abuse crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have found is that the presence of the dog during these interviews makes it much easier for these children to describe what has happened to them,
mm-hmm.
makes it much more likely for them to for them and their parents or other family members to want to come back, and it makes it much easier for them if they have to testify in court in front of a jury about what has occurred to them. So it's helped them, and it's helped prosecutors, you know, get to the truth and seek justice.
Mm. And also to testify with that person in the room, is that right?
Well, yes. In the dog can accompany the child, if the judge approves, to the witness stand and be present with the child would hold on to the dog's leash
mm-hmm.
when he or she testifies about what happened to them.
Mm. And it sounds like from your presentation and from your website, and the website is courthousedogs.com.
Correct.
That in a lot of situations, this is actually, I mean, I don't know how you, and you can maybe tell me since you've had a lot of experience pre-courthouse dogs, you know, how do you get the information from children who are too scared to talk when having a dog made all the difference? You know, what did you do before you had dogs to help?
Well, I have to say, well, you know, this program first started out when I brought Jeter, my son's service dog, one day a week to juvenile court. And on that day, Jeter could not be with Sean.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than have him stay home all day, I thought, well, he could work at the courthouse and help kids in drug court as they recover from their drug addictions.
Mm.
And then one day while we were waiting to go into drug court, I saw a young boy there. And he was tearful, upset. And I asked the prosecutor that was standing near him what was wrong, and she said he cannot testify against his mother who had sexually abused him. He wants to leave now.
Mm.
And so this little boy then saw Jeter, and he ran over to him and started playing with him, and I just saw how animated he became.
Mm-hmm.
And so I let them play for a little while. And then I said, do you think you could talk if Jeter was with you when the lawyer spoke with you? And he said he thought so. So I let them play for another 15 or 20 minutes. That seemed to relax him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went into a separate interview, and I told everybody, you know, get on the floor, all the police officers, the lawyers, the young boy, so that Jeter could snuggle up against him on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left the room. Jeter is so well trained that I could just tell him to stay there and lie down.
Mm-hmm.
And but there was a window into the interview room, and I would walk by occasionally, and I just saw this young boy petting Jeter during the interview.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to talk about what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
So for children, I think a lot of them think two things happen. One, they think they're talking to the dog, and this is usually for the younger children.
Mm-hmm.
They're just telling the dog what happened.
Right.
And I'm kind of shutting out the adults that are present there. And then for other people, and this goes for adults as well, just having a dog to pet
mm-hmm.
while they're describing what happened
mm-hmm.
is very soothing. And it also, that motion of petting a dog facilitates speaking.
Mm.
And so we have found that this works. And as a matter of fact, we have a pilot project that's just been completed that was handled by Dr. James Ha at the University of Washington, mm-hmm. where he is studying the interaction between a child and dog during these forensic interviews to try to get a sense for how this works.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, we're talking with Ellen O'Neill Smith and Stevens, who's the founder of Courthouse Dogs, and it looks like it's been since 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to take a quick break, Ellen, and when we come back, we'll talk with you more about your experiences with the dogs in the courthouse. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
As much as I love you, but you may think my dog will always come through. All he asks from me is the food to give him strength. All he asks.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Looking for the perfect collar for your dog or cat, but all the stores have all the same selection? Can't find just the right bed to fit your home and your pet? Is your pup feeling chilly and wanting a coat to keep warm? Bido & Scratch is Seattle's perfectly balanced pet supply store, carrying everything you need to furnish and feed your cat or dog. They are located in Seattle's Mount Baker neighborhood, just around the corner from the new Mount Baker Light Rail Station on McClellan. Visit Fido and Scratch on December 4th and 5th. They'll be hosting professional holiday pet portraits and pet food drive. For more information, contact the store at 206-588-2111 or friend Fido and Scratch on Facebook.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of living successfully with your animal friends. This week, it's a Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with me. As an animal behavior therapist and trainer, I work with clients to help them understand their animal friends and resolve any issues they're having with those animals. So whatever's going on with your animal friend, chances are I can help you. So plan to give me a call on Martha Norwalk's Animal World Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Let Haute Portraiture paint your dog in a stylish, abstract, realistic style. Jennifer Bloom captures the personality of any canine, big or small, mutt or purebred. Include yourself in the painting, or just your dog. Either way, you're sure to love the end result. Call Jennifer at 206-661-4538. That's 206-661-4538. Or see more at hopeportraiture.net. That's H-A-U-T-E, portraiture.net.
You're listening to the refreshingly different Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And that he knows he'll get, so I love my dog as much as I love you, but you make a fame.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM, and we are back today with Ellen O'Neill Stevens, founder of Courthouse Dogs. Welcome back, Ellen.
Thank you.
So you have, now the website is courthousedogs.com.
Correct.
And there's a video on right on the homepage that's great that I want to talk about, but I want to give out the phone number here. If anybody wants to call in during this interview and ask Ellen a question, feel free to do so. Number is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. Feel free to call in at any time during this interview today and ask a question if you are inspired. We'd love to hear from you. 425-373-5527. So there's a really wonderful video on your homepage, and I've also posted a link to the video on the Dog Talk Show homepage as well, so you can find it there. And your website, again, is courthousedogs.com. And it just kind of is some footage, video footage of the dogs greeting people as they first enter the courthouse and after they've passed through the metal detector, and just that talks about their calming presence and how they provide emotional support to anybody in need. And you said that this video won an award?
Yes, it did. The Washington State Bar Association, last summer, 2009, had a competition, a YouTube competition. And what they were looking for was a three-minute video that best illustrated Justice for All, a Northwest perspective. And so, by way of background information, the Seattle Police Department video unit and the police department in general has been very supportive of advocating and promoting the use of dogs in this manner. And since 2007, they were helping me provide training videos to other people so they could see actually the dogs at work. And the person that's been helping me the most is a man from Chile. And when he first started seeing the dogs at work, he said, you know, this would be really great for the people in Chile. And I thought, well, Cesar, that's his name. That's great for Chile, but I'm hoping that this will get started in Eastern Washington. So right. I didn't think that was very likely, but I put that in the back of my mind. And then when this contest came up, I mentioned this to Cesar, and I said, Cesar, you have all this wonderful footage. Why don't you create this video? And he put that together. And it won the prize, won two prizes. It won the People's Choice Award, and it also won the judges' competition. And by sheer coincidence, we had also been invited to Chile to introduce this concept to their law enforcement officers. And this just seemed to be, you know, almost miraculous situation. I couldn't believe the coincidence here. And so what ended up happening is Cesar accompanied us to Chile and translated for us when we met with the police officers there. And then he donated the prize money to the service dog organization in Chile.
Oh, wow.
And that very video was translated into Spanish and shown on television stations in Chile.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's great. Well, Ellen, we have a caller on line one who has a question for you. We have Donna in Bellevue. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Julie. what a wonderful program. I'm really enjoying learning about this wonderful thing that's happening for mostly kids and also adults in the court system. But my question is, I'm just curious, is there an effect, is there ever like a effect on the dogs? If like, I mean, I just don't, I know that they're very sensitive beings, and I just wonder if you kind of have to watch a dog to see if they're sort of been doing it for a little bit too long, or they, do they ever need a break from it or whatever, or are they just totally resilient to
Oh, I'm happy to answer that question.
Yeah, good question.
One of the reasons why we advocate for the use of trained service dogs, dogs that have been bred to do this type of work, is because most of these dogs have the temperament where they're very calm and, you know, have a great work ethic. And so they have the right disposition as they're born, most of them do, to be to enjoy doing this sort of work and be very comfortable doing this sort of work. So the only dogs that are selected to work in the criminal justice system are dogs that are very laid back and bomb-proof. So that really helps with that placement. But you are absolutely correct. This can be very draining work. We don't expect these dogs to work all day long, you know, be there for one distressed individual after another. The handlers of these dogs are trained to give their dogs a break. And so throughout the course of the day, they'll have break times. They'll be in their kennel. There'll be times that they play. They are taken out for long walks, you know, during the afternoon. And so we take care of their you know, physical and emotional well-being throughout the course of the day, because you know, that's the right thing to do, and it makes them do a better job if they're mm-hmm. feeling rested and ready to go back to work. But I have to say, most of the dogs really do enjoy meeting people and working with them, and they seem to be very intuitive in providing comfort to the people that need it the most.
Mm-hmm. And that brings up a good point, which is the distinction that these are not therapy dogs. These are not pet therapy dogs that are brought in by volunteers, but they're actually, the handlers are people who are you know, professionals in the system already.
That's correct. And, you know, I draw the analogy between, you know, courthouse dogs as being the same as service dogs who help a person with a disability, or I work with the Seattle Police Department, and in the office that I work at, there are narcotics dogs, and there is a bomb dog down the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And these dogs have very special training for very special jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And it really would not be fair to put a pet therapy dog in a situation where they would be exposed to things a pet dog normally isn't exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Metal detectors, elevators, crushes of people,
mm-hmm.
you know, high emotional situations. And then the other thing is that it takes a dog with a great deal of training and the right temperament to sit perfectly still during the course of an interview that may last for an hour with a child,
mm-hmm.
or, and even more importantly, in a courtroom mm-hmm. while someone is testifying. As you might imagine, judges aren't, you know, are a little dubious about a dog coming into a courtroom during a jury trial
mm-hmm.
and want to make sure that the dog is perfectly behaved and doesn't create any distractions.
Right, and doesn't get in the way.
Exactly.
Right.
And so we're able to, actually, the children or the adults that have the dog are able to give the dog the command, you know, down,
mm-hmm.
and the dog lies down, and usually they're out of view or have limited view of the jury, and they're just there
mm-hmm.
For them. And so it takes an exceptional dog to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it would put a lot of stress on a pet dog. And normally they only work for 2 hours at a time
mm-hmm.
anyway to be put in this position. So it really works well for the people that benefit from the use of the dogs to have a trained facility dog. And it works out well that pet dogs don't do this sort of work, because it would be a rare dog that would be amenable to that.
Well, it also seems like it would be a challenge to have the pet therapy dog's civilian handler or owner present during a forensic interview. You know, I mean, that the extra person being present would be inappropriate.
Well, and that's absolutely correct. I've been a prosecutor for many, many years, and some of us have certain type aspects of our job that we just don't care to do. And for me, it was always prosecuting sexual abuse crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's primarily because it's very, very difficult for me to sit and listen to that stuff
mm-hmm.
without feeling emotionally involved.
Mm-hmm.
My emotions would get in the way. And that's with my training.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't imagine that it would be easy for someone who, you know, is a pet therapy team partner, you know, a pet dog owner, to mm-hmm. sit and listen to some of the horrible stories that children have to describe about what's happened to them
mm-hmm.
and not react to it emotionally. And that could be upsetting to the child. It could be upsetting to the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And in some point in time that these people have to actually leave during the middle of an interview, and that would disrupt the interview.
Right.
And then finally, this person could also be called as a witness to testify on the stand.
Right.
So none of those situations would be desirable, and that's why we advocate that only trained professionals handle a dog in that situation, and that the pet therapy dogs that work in libraries and assisted care facilities are great in that venue, but
mm-hmm.
there's a lot at stake during the investigation and prosecution of crimes, and it just isn't wise to put a pet dog in that situation.
Yeah, because there's really two goals with this, is to provide the comfort and emotional support, but in doing that, in a lot of cases, it's enabling you to do your job in prosecuting somebody or in getting you know, having somebody testify so that somebody can be prosecuted.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. There's two things that's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm very passionate about this, and I want the reason why My consulting partner, Celeste Walson, who is a veterinarian, the reason why the two of us go around the country making presentations about this is we want to make sure that it is done right, because the last thing that I want to have happen is for a dog being used in the courtroom to create an issue on appeal or cause a mistrial, so that this could make it difficult for other people in the future to use these dogs, and to keep another, a victim from having to go through a trial again 2 or 3 years down the road because their case has been overturned.
And something I thought was interesting, too, about that pet therapy dogs are often actively seek interaction, which is why they can be so great in certain situations. But that, like, that a dog that's trained at the level of a service dog is not going to join in the fun with a child who's trying to avoid the interview process by running around or playing.
Yeah, that's correct. So what we do is, as you might imagine, when the children first come into a child advocacy center or a prosecutor's office, they're with an adult. And, of course, everybody is very nervous, and these children really don't want to talk about this at all. And the way we establish rapport with these children is for them to spend some time with the dog before they go into the interview room. And at that point in time, you know, they play with the dog. These dogs are so well trained that we can tell the child to give the dog a command like sit or shake, and the dog will follow through with that command. So it's really empowering for the child to be able to have that sort of interaction and feel in control before they go into an interview. And so at that point, we need the dog to interact with the child. But once they're in the interview room, being interviewed by a trained professional, then we want the dog to just quietly lie beside the child and be available to pet, because these children don't really want to talk about what's happened to them for the most part. And if a dog would want to continue on with the play that had been going on, you know, 5 minutes earlier out in the lobby area, then the child isn't going to want to talk about what has happened. So it's very helpful for the dogs to just lie there and be available and be a source of, of, you know, comfort and have that warm body next to them, and not disrupt the conversation between the interviewer and the child, so that we can get to the truth as to what had happened.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Ellen O'Neill Stevens, founder of Courthouse Dogs. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Many dogs love to ride in the car, but boy, they can really do a number on the interior with their nails and teeth. Did you know that you can have the interior vinyl and leather dents and tears repaired rather than having to replace an entire section or door? Color Masters Northwest offers leather, vinyl, and velour restoration with the option of on-site repairs and affordability of saving you from having to order a whole new part. You don't have to wait to replace your entire door or console. Just call Color Masters Northwest and have your dog's unsightly handiwork repaired quickly and affordably. Call 425-681-9355 or visit colormastersnw.com to schedule an appointment today. That's 425-681-9355 or online at colormastersnw.com.
This is Kim Ariano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we are back with Ellen O'Neill Stevens, founder of Courthouse Dogs. Welcome back, Ellen.
Thanks.
And the website, again, is courthousedogs.com, and you can check out their website and read more about the program. And there's a really cute 3-minute video on there as well. There's also a link to that video from the Dog Talk Show website, which is dogtalkshow.com. And Courthouse Dogs has a Facebook fan page, and I added your page as one of the Dog Talk Show's favorites last week.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. So you have, I read on the homepage that there's that you in Indiana, there's prison inmates that have trained a courthouse dog.
That's correct. As you may know, there are a lot of prison, dog programs where inmates train dogs to become service dogs.
Yeah. We've had a prison pet partnership program, the local service dog training program in Purdy, Washington.
Right,
we've had them on the show, yeah.
Yeah, and so I've been out there a number of times, and actually the local juvenile institution also trains puppies from canine companions for independence to become service dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, you know, when I started this several years ago, I thought, gosh, you know, that's going to be an amazing story when we have a dog that was raised and trained by prisoners, placed to work with a prosecutor's office helping crime victims.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be full circle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew it was inevitable that it would happen. But then when it did, it was quite a marvelous story. I'd been contacted by a prosecuting attorney from the Indianapolis, Indiana area. She wanted to get a courthouse dog. We put her in touch with a service dog organization called Indiana Canine Assistant Network, and all of their dogs are trained from puppies to adulthood exclusively by prison inmates at three other institutions in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they are fostered out on the weekends, so they get to be out in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turned out, the dog that this prosecuting attorney received was trained by these inmates. This prosecutor's name is Judy Johnson, and when she met with Sally Irvin, the director of ICANN, she found out, much to her dismay, not only were the dogs trained by inmates, which was unexpected, she didn't know that was the situation, but that she would have to go into the maximum security prison for 2 weeks and have the inmates train her.
Wow.
To handle the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was kind of a tough experience for Judy. And as I listened to her story, it was hard for me to wrap my brain around it too, because, you know, here as prosecutors, we go from, prosecuting people and wanting to protect society and put them in prison if the crime justifies that sort of sentence. And then to be in a situation where you're now on their home turf and being trained by you is kind of difficult to process.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it turned out to be an amazing experience, not only for Judy, but for the inmates as well. And what Judy found out was that a lot of the women that were training the dogs had been victims of child sexual abuse when they were children. And they felt very, very good about a dog helping Judy, you know, to help people or children like they had been.
Yeah.
And so it was really a marvelous experience. And the Seattle Police Department video unit, the Seattle Police Foundation sponsored a trip out there to Indianapolis, and we've put together about an 8-minute film that we're going to be making available for training purposes about that experience, where we interviewed the inmates and we saw how they trained the dogs, and also interviewed the prosecutor and the people that she helped, and that really has been a terrific story.
Isn't it something that the inmates who have trained the service dog for the, you know, as a courthouse dog, basically, or for this prosecutor, that they can find themselves in the role of teacher?
It is, and I think it's very good for them to be in that role. It does a lot to kind of shore up their self-esteem. Sally Irvin, who developed this program, saw that raising and training dogs would be very therapeutic for the inmates and help them in their rehabilitation, and many of them get jobs as dog trainers once they leave the prison. But yes, it is in a good situation for them to be in, to be the teachers. I remember when I went down to team training with my husband so that we could learn how to handle Jeter on behalf of Sean. I felt very incompetent. I didn't know the first thing about handling a dog. I thought it would be easy, but it wasn't. And so I think that it is very good for these women to be in a position of knowing so much more than the people that they're training. They feel very good about themselves, and then the people that are receiving the dogs feel you know, very good about the people that have trained them. And so it works very well both ways.
Yeah. Now, how old was Jeter when you got him? Or when
Jeter wasn't quite two. He was just a month short of being 2 years old.
And do you get all your dogs from CCI?
No. Canine Companions for Independence was the first service dog organization to make this placement at the King County Prosecutor's Office, because once Norm Mailing, the late Norm Mailing, saw how well Jeter helped, he wanted more of them. And I said, no, that's Sean's dog. You know, you've got to get your own dog.
Yeah.
And so he applied for Ellie. And so CCI has made the most placements, but Celeste and I go around the country, and we've been talking with other service dog organizations. And now there are about a half a dozen others that have placed dogs in this capacity. And so it's beginning to catch on, and everybody seems to be very pleased with this placement.
Now, you've been doing this for several years now, since 2003, when Courthouse Dogs was founded. What are some of your favorite stories of what you've witnessed between, you know, with the dogs interacting with the people that you're working with?
Well, I have to say, my favorite stories are the ones where I can see how the dog has made a difference. And I have to say, the first story that really made a huge impression on me was started out in juvenile drug court. And there was a 15-year-old girl there who she and her two sisters came from a very dysfunctional household. Their mother was a drug addict, and the girls used cocaine and methamphetamine and stole cars, and they were in all sorts of trouble. And so all three girls went into drug court. And drug court is a program where a person decides that they will participate in drug treatment, and if they successfully complete the program, the charge will be dismissed. Well, her two sisters graduated from the program, but after they left, she just fell off the wagon and started abusing drugs again, and a bench warrant was issued for her because she stopped coming to court. And so after being in drug court for a number of years, we finally decided that we couldn't help her anymore. And so we were prepared to tell her that, you know, you're going to be terminated from this program, and now you're going to have 3 felony convictions on your record. And so when she was brought into the courtroom in handcuffs, she started to cry because she kind of had a sense for what was going on. And, you know, the judge in vain told her that she was going to be terminated, and she did begin crying. And so I asked the judge if Jeter could go over and comfort her. And the judge said, well, okay. So I brought Jeter over, and she was sitting at a table, and the jailer took her handcuffs off, and Jeter did an up. He put his 2 front paws on the table, and she just reached over and hugged him. And then, you know, kind of nestled her face into his big, you know, neck, and then said to us, see, Jeter believes in me. Won't you give me another chance?
Mm-hmm.
And so we all just kind of sat around and like, oh, Chelsea, we've given you so many chances. Are we going to do this again? And the judge said, well, okay. And that was the turnaround. Mm-hmm. She started coming to court. She came to court early to walk Jeter before court. The two of them sat together in the back of the courtroom. She started going to school. She started getting a job. She was clean. She graduated from the program. And King 5 had a news report about this. This was probably in 2004, 2005, where they showed her graduating for drug court.
Mm.
And she said, you know, Jeter saved her life.
Wow.
And I ran into her 2 years later, and she was just doing fine.
Good.
And so that's a very, very nice story.
Wow. Well, let's take a quick break, and we will be right back with Ellen O'Neill Stevens, founder of Courthouse Dogs. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Okay. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. You're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. Crying all the time.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
We all want to feel good, and when we look good, we just feel better. Hi, I'm Shawn Dene, inviting you to join Dr. Dawn and myself on Radiant You Radio. We will explore the good, the bad, and the ugly about looking fine. We'll throw the spotlight onto procedures, treatments, and nutritional methods to help you become a more radiant you.
Don't miss Radiant You Radio every Friday at 2 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues. Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Forget their space and come check out our space on the web, 1150kknw.com, and find out about Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. You ain't nothing but a hound
dog, crying on a train. Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, and we are back with Ellen O'Neill Stevens, founder of Courthouse Dogs. Welcome back, Ellen.
Thank you.
So CourthouseDogs.com is the website. You can check them out online. There's a really great video on the homepage. You can also find a link to that video on the Dog Talk Show website as well, which is DogTalkShow.com. So Courthouse Dogs was basically inspired by your son and his service dog. So why don't you tell us that story?
Oh, that's correct. So I have three children. My oldest is Sean, and I had Sean while I was in law school.
Mm-hmm.
And he has cerebral palsy. He's severely disabled, and he's just an amazing person. He can't eat really. He can't talk. He can't walk. He lives in a wheelchair, but he has got the most positive outlook on life, and he's always smiling.
Mm.
And, you saw him, Julie. Mm-hmm. He's,
yes.
I know him as a mother, but I just think he's a great...
He's very charismatic.
He is.
Yeah.
He is. And so I love him to death. And when he graduated from high school, I was very concerned at age 21 that he wasn't going to have anything going on in his life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when another prosecuting attorney who raised puppies for CCI
mm-hmm.
Suggested we get Sean a skilled companion dog for Jeter.
Mm-hmm.
And that has made such a big difference in his life. And when I saw the relationship between Sean and Jeter and what a difference that made for Sean, then that's when I had the idea that, one day a week, maybe Jeter could help kids out in facilities, because there are a number of service dogs that typically work in hospitals or in schools to mm-hmm. help people. So I thought, well, a courthouse is a facility, why not?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I like to say is that that Sean and Jeter are the inspiration. I'm just a tool to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Sean has been the recipient of a lot of care and concern over his lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And he has such a great spirit that he joins me in my local presentations, as you saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a nice way for Sean to give back by sharing Jeter.
Mm.
And for Sean's essence as a human being to be just spread, throughout the country and beginning to be throughout the world, that because of his existence, his mere existence, it's had just so many positive effects on so many people. And so that just really means quite a lot to me. What I do is quite a bit of work, but it's something I feel passionate about, something I love doing, because I love Sean and his dog Jeter so much.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that is that you're really working to implement nationally.
It is. I'm working on a committee with the National District Attorney Association to develop best standards for dogs working in the criminal justice system so that this is done properly. The Seattle Police Foundation has provided funding for us to put together this training video that's going to be available to criminal justice professionals throughout the country in just another month or two.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's our intention to get the word out, and it's happening. We were in Honolulu in November, and they're getting a courthouse dog. And just about every month we travel somewhere to give a conference presentation, and we're happy. I encourage anybody who goes on our website, that does this sort of work or wants to know more about it, to contact us. We'll be happy to answer your questions. Mm-hmm. We check that all day long.
Mm-hmm. And is there a contact information through your website?
Yes, there is. It would either be Celeste, mm-hmm. She's a veterinarian, at CourthouseDogs.com, or Ellen at CourthouseDogs.com. That's how you would contact us, mm-hmm. and we'll get right back to you.
And how many dogs are you working with currently in King County Courthouse?
Well, right now, there Molly B. Is our courthouse dog, and she works part-time when Ellie, who is our full-time dog, is unavailable. And then there are a number of dogs throughout the Washington area that are also working in this capacity. The largest concentration is in Washington. Of course, that's where it started, and that's something that we're very proud about, is that this originated in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
But it is growing all over the country, and we have placements along the coast. New Mexico is now going to have 3 courthouse dogs, Indiana, Missouri, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
They're all over.
And I don't know if I was clear about this earlier, but these dogs are actually, they go home with an employee or professional at night. So they're actually, they live with
yeah.
families. Yeah.
Right. We've had a couple of people say, well, gosh, you know, are they locked up in the office?
Right.
And at the end of it, it's like, no, they're fabulous pets at the end of the day. You know, they have great lives. They get to act like dogs. And so they have very good life, and they're just adored all day long. They really enjoy all of our dogs. When they walk into a courthouse, their tails are wagging.
Mm-hmm.
They're happy to be there.
Well, I'm not sure when your next travel plans are, Ellen, but we are celebrating our 100th episode of the Dog Talk Show at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
It's January 22nd, and
mm-hmm.
you and Sean and Jeter and Molly B and anyone else is welcome to come and celebrate with us.
Okay, I really appreciate that. Thank you so
much.
Yeah,
we're going to have Wolfhaven International will be there, along with City Dog Magazine, and we're going to have lots of giveaways and free raffles and food and all that good stuff. It's at Fido and Scratch in Seattle's Mount Baker neighborhood. So if you and your family are available, we'd love to have you come by and meet Molly B. and see Sean and Jeter and you again.
Okay, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
You're welcome. So the website again is courthousedogs.com, and you are on Facebook. Are you on Twitter as well?
Just Facebook.
Facebook, okay. And that is Courthouse Dogs. You can find their fan page and become a fan. And you can also find their Facebook fan page through the Dog Talk Show fan page there under our favorite pages. Ellen, thank you so much for being on the show today and taking the time to talk with us about your wonderful organization.
My pleasure, Julie.
And just great work, and good luck to you in your efforts in spreading the word.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Such a touching, I mean, the stories, I was talking with Ellen about other stories, and parts of it are just really hard to hear just due to the nature of the work. Along with them being really, really touching and inspirational. And it's just what wonderful work that, you know, what she and Sean and Jeter have started is just something that is spreading across the nation and just making such a huge difference. So wonderful. So again, the website is courthousedogs.com. And a reminder again that we will be celebrating our 100th episode of the Dog Talk Show, and the celebration is January 22nd. It's a Saturday, and it starts at 6 p.m., and it's going to be held at Fido and Scratch, which is one of my favorite local pet shops in Seattle, South Seattle.
And friends of the show, of course.
Oh, very much so. And so we'll be there, and Wolfhaven International will be there. City Dog Magazine will be there.
Are they going to be bringing any of the wolves?
No.
Oh, okay.
No wolves will be present. Absolutely not.
Good to know.
Yep. But they will have wolves available for adoption, which means that you can basically sponsor a wolf. And so they'll be all set up to do that at the party. That's January 22nd at 6 p.m. Fido and Scratch. I hope you can make it. Join me in celebrating our 100th episode of the Dog Talk Show. Eric, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the big party. It sounds like it's going to be a howling good time.
It is.
Wolfhaven people there.
Yeah. So thanks so much for listening today, and we'll be back next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.